ABC. 11:25 on Talk Radio 790 with Mr. KBC. Michael Shaw is in studio. He's the Executive Vice President and Director of Marketing for Interscan Corporation, a molecular biologist and biochemist. And we're talking about, we're kind of on this jag about hospitals and how filthy, filthy, filthy they are. Even the best hospitals in the country are just cesspools. Is that the rule or is that the exception?
Well, hard to classify like that. I would just say that if 10% of the patient population gets infected, is it a total cesspool? No. But should it be cleaned up? Yes.
And is that the case? I mean, if you go to I think of a good hospital locally, it would be Cedars-Sinai. 10% of the
these are national figures. Now, maybe Cedars is lower than others or higher. I don't know. Just because a place is highly regarded. I would think, to be fair to Cedars, they probably don't have some of the situations of the dense population, but, you know, they could very likely have the sterilization disinfection problems of many of these facilities because there's cost containment problems. Mm-hmm. I mean, you asked before the break, how can you protect yourself?
Right.
Well, number one easy way to do it is just ask the question, how has that been sterilized? In fact, you don't have to go to the extreme of my buddy Zori Glazer, the retired FDA guy, who his mother was going to go in for a procedure. He actually donated a scope to the hospital. He spent, $14,000 to buy a brand new scope, so he knew it would be clean going in. That's a pretty extreme case. Sometimes we would say be the first case in the morning, so the standard of care would be such, at least a few years ago, that those would be sterilized as opposed to high-level disinfection. And the difference essentially is that...
Well, if I ask a doctor or I'm in an emergency, an operating room, and I ask, how is that sterilized? And they tell me, am I going to know what it means? I'm not a medical
I think they would be so shocked that you even asked the question.
Yeah.
That would put you in the 99th percentile of most of the...
And so their answer will be, don't worry about it. It's been sterilized. Now go to sleep.
Well, at some point,
I don't think they want to have a conversation with you in an operating room about the sterilized.
Well, usually it's if it's an elective procedure, you're getting a scope surgery on your knee or something like that. But, you have to ask the questions. I mean, when I was in the hospital a number of years ago and they had to take a certain type of blood sample and I was not successfully doing it, and he decided, why don't we go into your brachial artery? And I said, I don't think so. People go in maybe with a little too much confidence because, I have all these articles.
Well,
here.
That is someone who I want to have confidence in, someone that's cutting me open.
Well, remember, it's minor surgery when it's done on you, and it's major surgery when it's done on me.
Right, right.
And, if you have to have the procedure done, you have to have the procedure done. But they're actually saying that the best way to keep grandma healthy is to keep her out of the hospital, keep her away from antibiotics, and the doctors to wash their hands,
sending out the message, don't take antibiotics, to me, can really work.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a dangerous message.
That was an extreme glib statement that some doctor was quoted saying.
Right.
But there's no question that the overuse of antibiotics has created these resistant strains.
Right. You think that this is be the first person in the morning to have the surgery when everyone's fresh and the room is theoretically clean.
The standard of care used to be that, let's say you have a laparoscope, arthroscope, some sort of flexible scope. The advantage to the hospital of using these devices is that you can get the patient in and out quicker. You don't have to make such a big, deep hole. And you can do nice surgeries. I mean, this is great. The problem is that these devices are very difficult to clean, very difficult to sterilize. To sterilize a flexible scope, you can't use steam because it's too hot, there's plastic parts and so on, so alternative methods were developed. The oldest and most proven alternative method is the use of a gas called ethylene oxide, very effective sterilant. The problem is, to run an ethylene oxide cycle, even at the highest tech sterilizers now, is about 10 hours. So you can, at best, run two cycles a day.
Wow.
So you
no hospital's going to do that. It's
well,
not cost effective.
You can't keep the inventory of
right.
the instruments. So
right.
you can go to what's called dip disinfection, where you take the device and put it into a tank with a liquid disinfectant.
And who's doing the doctor's not doing this
no.
before he does the procedure.
No,
right?
no. Unfortunately, this is a group in the hospital called Central Sterile or Surgical Processing, and these are not by any means high paid employees. Okay. But it's one of the most important jobs in the hospital because
what level of training do they have? Are they biology? Do they have a degree in biology?
Okay.
Do they have
the people that run the departments are generally nurses who have been around for a number of years, have some there's methods of certifying these individuals. They're not highly paid. The techs in these departments are certainly low paid. And, you know, do what they're told and usually do an admirable job. But
does it take any kind of education to do this? I mean, could they train me in a half an hour and
yes.
I could be
yes.
Really?
You would, yeah. I mean, you're taught to wrap the stuff up, put it in the sterilizer, and
see, I always thought that all this stuff goes, it's like shipped out to a company that does the sterilizing, then they package the because I know when I go to a doctor's
surgical
office.
Surgical trays.
Yeah, well, surgical trays and other, but other instruments, I see them literally opening them
all right,
up.
There's a couple things going on. Some of our customers are in the so-called industrial sterilization business. You have sterilizers you can literally drive a truck into, and they run huge loads. But most hospitals do their own work on site. Now, the exception to that is the so-called surgical tray, where if there's a procedure that's done a lot, you have a ready-made prepackaged tray that is has the various instruments that's already sterilized. That's fine. It's not cheap. But there's other issues with this. It goes beyond the two cycles a day. The question you would raise or your listeners would raise is, okay, let's say I put something in a sterilizer. How do I know that the load is sterile? I'll pull out the load at the end of X number of hours. How do I know it's sterile? You have inside the load something called a biological indicator. It's a little tube that contains certain hard-to-kill pathogens. And if these end up being dead, that was a successful load. Okay, so your next question is, how do we know that the BI was successful? Well, there's a little lab test you run. The point of it is that there's about a 48-hour lead time between proving that the load was sterile and taking the stuff out of the sterilizer. However, the load is released immediately. Now, if 2 days later the BI comes through bad, well, you have a record of the patient that those instruments were used on, and you can follow it up. And I must say, most of the time, the BI works out okay. But you have what's called, and most people don't know this, you have what's called a parametric release. In other words, if the sterilizer is set up according to the proper conditions or parameters, we assume that it was a successful load. Now, how do you assume that? Well, there are standards, the technical standards that it was done correctly. The problem is that these technical standards are very, very rigorous, and even companies that are doing sterilization and that's all they do would rather wait the 48 hours to prove the lab test than certify it by a parametric release. However, the hospitals don't seem to worry about that, and they release it on the load.
All right, we'll continue with Michael Shaw, who's the Executive Vice President and Director of Marketing for Interscan Corporation. They manufacture toxic gas detection systems. And we're going to take your phone calls when we come back. So those of you online, we'll get to you in just a minute. A biochemist and molecular biologist, and we'll continue at 800-222-KABC right after we check the latest news and traffic right now.